Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's call on Feng Shui for Spas. I'm very happy to be here with Carol Olmsted, who we met at a fabulous networking event in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And she's actually, through her newsletters, through her book, and just through the hour class we had with her, put about $9,000 into our pocket in about a week by doing some very basic things with Feng Shui. So in talking with Carol, we thought it would be great to get her to give us some tips of how Feng Shui can really relate to what it is we do in our spas, and also how to make our spas more inviting, of course, how to make our spas make more money, and how to make us be, you know, happier in the environments that we work in. And the first thing I want to do is thank Carol, because when we moved into our new loft in Albuquerque, it was a rectangle. It was perfect. It was easy to go to your website, which is fengshuiforreallife.com, and download a lot of information about how to set up our new loft so that we got the best benefits from the principles of feng shui. So thank you for that, Carol.
You're welcome.
Now, the other thing is we'll have Carol tell us a little bit about herself, how she got into feng shui, and kind of how to go about adding this to what we do in our everyday life.
Okay, ready to go. Well, welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining us. Let's talk about feng shui. I want to tell you a little bit about the basics of feng shui so you'll understand that there is some misunderstanding. There's lots of approaches to feng shui. So first I'll give you some background, and then we'll talk some specifics about using feng shui to make your spa the experience that you want it to be for your clients. Okay, my background, I started out as a public relations consultant working with government and nonprofit clients, doing okay, but it was not quite what I wanted my career to be. And one day a colleague was reading a book about feng shui. I didn't know how to pronounce it then. She didn't either. We looked at it and said, this is interesting. And it said in this book that I was sitting in my office. I was working out of a home office, that I was sitting backwards. I had a beautiful view of my garden. I was facing that, and consequently, my back was to the door. And so this book on feng shui advised us to turn around my desk. We did that, went off to lunch, didn't think anything about it. Then 2 weeks later, I signed a contract to consult for a week in Honolulu. I was living in Washington, D.C. then. It was cold. It was February. And off I went to Honolulu, worked with the client, needed me to stay for another week in paradise. Did that, they funded the project, and the rest, as they say, was history. And I came back home and I said, could it have been the feng shui? Was there something about moving my desk? Was there something about placing objects and items around me? And so what I did was picked up a book, started to read. Don't know how many of you have looked at feng shui books. There are now about 1,200 of them, including my brand new book, The Feng Shui Quick Guide. But I was confused, didn't understand much, so I took a class, got myself certified, got hooked on it, phased out my PR business, and began consulting, and this was more than 12 years ago. So that's a little bit about how I got started with this. I deal with residential and commercial clients, businesses of all sorts, certainly including salons and spas, teaching people how to make sometimes very minor, sometimes more major, changes in their environment, the layout of their interior environment, to make feng shui work for them. Keith, is that enough of an introduction? Are you still there?
I think that's perfect. So, okay. I mean, the thing is, you know, the thing I love about it is it started as an interest for you. You researched it. You figured it out. And what I've learned from you is that feng shui doesn't have to be difficult, and it doesn't have to be an extensive list of rules.
Absolutely. I call my approach to feng shui for real life, and the for real life is the important part. There is classical feng shui that will tie red ribbons on things and hang crystals all over, and that certainly works in some environments. But for most of my commercial clients, that doesn't work. And what does work is making some simple changes around you so your space feels better. My working definition for feng shui is that it's a design system for arranging your interior environment in balance and harmony with the natural world around you. Think about when you are outside. Those of us in New Mexico know we've got plenty of days that have good feng shui. The sky is blue. The trees are blowing with a light breeze. If you're lucky, you're sitting by some meandering water. Everything feels comfortable. Everything feels good. If you need to be creative, you are creative in that kind of environment. If you're with your loved one, everything is wonderful. If you're with your family, everything is harmonious. That's what it should feel when we walk into our interior surroundings, whether it's walking in your house through the front door or coming in through the garage, whether it's walking into your office, and especially when it's you and your clients walking in the front entrance of your spa. The words feng shui mean wind and water, and so it is that gentle movement that we are looking to put in your interior environment, and this doesn't always have to be complicated. So a couple of points I'd like to make to give you some basics about feng shui, three of the critical components of feng shui. The first is qi, the second we call the five elements, and the third is something we call the bagua, which is simply a mapping chart to help you decide where to put things in your environment. There are some more components. You can find out more about them on my website, fengshuiforreallife.com, and in my book. But these are the three critical ones I want to talk about first, and then we'll go into specifics. Okay, the first one is qi. These days, most people understand this energy force that we talk about as qi. And certainly in the business that you're in the business of selling spa services, you should be able to understand what's good qi and what's not good qi. In feng shui, we feel that qi comes in the front door, that main entrance of any space, and looks to run straight out through the first window or door or into the first blank wall it finds. Our goal in feng shui is to make that qi flow gently all around you, feeling that wind and water flow. And so how do we do that? The first thing we look to do is take away angles. In the natural world around us, nothing is angular. Everything curves and moves and flows. But in our very built environment, everything has angles. Again, here in Santa Fe, where I am, we are lucky to have a lot of curved bullnose architecture on the inside, a lot of curved corners. But not every building has that. And so to make things curve, it's the way we place furniture. Perhaps we're placing chairs in front of very pointed walls, walls that point out into your space to block this harsh energy, placing plants. I call it the gallery phenomenon. When you go into an art gallery or a museum, you don't walk in the front door and move straight to the back in a straight line. You'll go left and you'll look at the oils, and perhaps you'll move down a little and go right because there's beautiful sculpture, and then you're drawn to the back. Perhaps there's a bronze there, and maybe there's some watercolors. You move gently left to right, swaying just like my wind and water again. And that's how we understand what qi is in your environment. We look in feng shui to get rid of the things that are pulling down your qi. And there are three conditions of negative qi that we always look for. And so I ask you to take a look around you to see if any of these negative effects are happening. And the first one is anything you have around you that you don't like. If you don't really like the furniture you bought, if you really don't like the color you painted the walls, if you really don't like the artwork that you chose, it is pulling down your qi. And my guess is that if it's pulling it down for you, it's pulling it down for your customers, your clients. And I strongly suggest that if there's anything around you you don't like, then get rid of it. If you keep objects from other businesses you ran that maybe didn't run so well, they're also negative. They're pulling down your qi. So step one is to take a look around you and make sure you love everything you have. The second kind of negative qi are things that don't work. And I put in that category things that are broken, that are stained, that are ripped, that are torn. The plant that is dying is negative qi in this sense. Stains from the leak in the roof, that's negative qi in this sense. Anything that leaks. Spas have a lot of water, which is very good in feng shui, but when we are leaking water, we are losing this qi. Give you a perfect example of a spa I visited back 2 months ago which shall remain nameless, very high-end spa. And I went in the locker room, and the steam room and the showers were in the same room. And all around the bottom of the door to the steam room, the paint was bubbled and peeling, and you could see the water accumulating, almost pooling outside the door. And when I later talked to the spa manager, she admitted that they'd actually done some renovations, they had gone badly, they needed to fix things. But as a client, as a customer, I wasn't happy there, and they actually ended up giving me a free treatment because of my experience. But they lost water, consequently they lost wealth because they had to pay for a second treatment for me. And so take a look at where things aren't working for you. And the third kind of negative G has to do with clutter. And it's okay to laugh because we all have clutter. But there is a difference between clutter that's active, clutter when you're busy working on a project, you have things around you. That's very active. It's moving. But when you have piles of things that accumulate over time, that's very stuck or blocked energy. And so, again, I challenge you to take a look around you. Look at where your clutter spots are. All of us have particular spots where we store our clutter, and see what you can do to move them out. In my book, there is a 5-point program for working through your clutter very quickly. And you can also find out more information about that if you want to contact me directly. So that's a little bit about Qi. Any questions from anybody about Qi?
Well, the one thing that I love that you say that, Carol, because when I, as a consultant, go into spas, the place that I find that clutter is always the front desk.
Front desk.
That seems to be, you know, where the papers are, the files are, the folders are, the postcard projects they've been working on, the Post-it notes that are stuck to everything to tell them the shift F4 to get to this screen.
Mm-hmm.
And as a client coming in, it's the first time I see it. It bothers me. But what I find, too, is because they're also often environments that we work in every day, we don't see that the same way as somebody from the outside does. But the minute I sit down and start going through and getting rid of that clutter, I mean, it's the people that work at the front desk look taller. They feel there's more bounce in their step. I mean, it really does affect what you're saying, that chi, that energy, by going through and getting rid of that.
Exactly. One of the guarantees I'll give you in feng shui is that nothing new flows into your life, into your business, until you make room for it. And when that front area especially is cluttered, there is no room for the new energy that's coming in the door to, in essence, stick around. Chi like that, like you described, is very chaotic. And clients who come in feel that, and even more important, the staff who works there feel that. And it gets translated into the maybe snippy response you give someone. Customer contact is so important in this business, and anything that keeps staff from interacting with clients in the most positive way is a negative. It's a negative in feng shui. And so it's a great point. I'm glad you made it. Okay.
Great.
Second power principle in feng shui is called the five elements. And the five elements is simply the feng shui way of describing the colors and the shapes and the textures around you. Each element is associated with a specific color or colors, shape, and attributes. When we put these in your environment in perfect balance, then everything feels good. When the wrong one predominates or there's not enough of the right one, that's when we don't feel good. In spas especially, again, we have this preponderance of water, which is good, and I'm going to describe what water is in a second. But if we have too much, there is almost a sense that you can be overwhelmed by it, in essence, drown in it. We need some of the other elements to balance it. So what are they? The first one is fire. Fire is the element that brings passion, emotion into a space. Its shape is the shape of a flame that's triangular, and its colors are the fiery ones, red, orange, even those deep, deep, almost royal purples. A space that doesn't have fire is one that people keep talking about as being too cold. A space that has too much fire is one where you're simply too heated up. Things are going on way too fast. I always use the example that people can identify with of an old-fashioned Chinese restaurant that was typically all done in red. I guarantee you're never going to have a slow, leisurely meal in an all-red space because it's too much of an exciting element. So think about where you have fire in your space. Since the goal of most spas is to relax people, make them feel comfortable, we really don't want too much fire. Doesn't mean we want an absence of it, but we don't want too much. It's not the kind of business where you want to paint all the walls red, for example. Next one is earth. Earth is the element that grounds you, makes you feel stable. Its shape is square, and its actual material is material made of earth. So tile floors are an earth material. Granite counters are an earth material. And its colors are the colors of the earth, the browns, the terracottas, and the yellow from the sun. And earth is indeed the element that we want a lot of in a place where we want people to relax and feel grounded. So you can do it with the color, and you can do it with all of those earthy materials. The third one is metal. Metal is round and shaped like a metal coin, and its colors are all the metallic ones, the golds, the silvers, and all of the light colors and pastels are considered metal. On the complicated side in the society we live in, all electronics are considered metal, all fluorescent lights are considered metal, and so you think about a space that has metal furniture, overhead fluorescent lights, lots of white light colors, it's not comfortable. It's very hard. Metal is a hard substance. And so we need to keep metal at a minimum in a spa-type environment as well. The next one is water. I mentioned that one briefly. Water is indeed the element that moves us, makes us flow, makes us feel comfortable. Its shape is anything that has a pattern or a curve to it. And so a pattern of fabric with a paisley on it or with a print on it is considered a water pattern, whatever color it is. The actual colors of water are blue and black, as if you were looking into deep water. And so this is indeed the major, one of the five elements that you want to have in the spa. And the final one is wood, little complicated to explain. Think shape of a wood growing tree, trunk that's somewhat rectangular, and color of the leaves of a tree, which is green. And just like a tree, the wood element is for growth and expansion, and this is indeed another element that we want to see in spas. And so we do it with its color, green. We do it with its actual composition, would be plants. We can also do it with furniture, wooden furniture, and we can do it with the placement of pictures, artwork all around that shows trees and woods and flowers and growing things. This is another one of the few actual guarantees you'll get in feng shui, which is that you are what you see. And so if your staff and your clients are looking at beautiful pictures of the outdoors, then they feel much more connected to that outdoor world, and they feel comfortable, and they want to stick around and come back to your spa. So that's a little bit about the five elements. Keith, anything to add?
No, it's just the thing that I love to hear you describe those is then I visually think of myself walking through a spa and, you know, how that chi is going to flow from the reception area to the relaxation area to a treatment room. And then, like you're talking about in spa world where you've got, you know, fountains everywhere. And I kind of, in the spas that have so much water around and you're listening to, like, whales and ocean waves on the, the music, I get bogged down.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you start talking about bringing those other elements in, I realize that the places that I've enjoyed most have those other bits of elements, you know, whether it be a fireplace as well in the relaxation room or candles that are burning. And even a lot of the spas now, you know, the treatment rooms specifically don't have windows because we tend to keep them darker, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
But how important it is to have that wood represented through the pictures,
right,
so that you're seeing the greenery, you're seeing the outside just through the visual aspect. And also I think it's so important the way you talk about feng shui really is a three-dimensional practice.
Mm-hmm.
Like a spa experience includes sight, sound, touch, feel, all those things that it just makes perfect sense to kind of sit back and look at. You know, if you're designing a new place, what would you do to make it ideal? And in the case we'll talk a little later, you know, we've got what we're already dealt the cards of how our building's set up. how are we going to make these better? So I think it's perfect.
Right. The point is very well taken. I tend to be a good spa goer, and I recall one spa. This was a good one, so I'll mention it was on the Eastern Shore in Maryland. The treatment rooms were a little bigger than usual. They did have windows, and they were shuttered with beautiful wood shutters. So I was getting just a little light and the beautiful wood, and they were indeed decorated with artwork of the outside. In this case, it was of the local landscape. And so this, I thought, was extremely healthy for both the professional who works in this little room, because sometimes they're in tiny little cubicles, and for me as the customer, even though my eyes were eyes were closed for most of it, the feeling was one of connectedness to the natural world. And so this is how we make the five elements work. One more point about the five elements is this balance issue. When we have too much of one, in the case of a spa, you would have too much water, we add another element, a complementary element, that in essence gets rid of some of that. So, for example, in real life, if you had too much water, how would you get rid of it? Well, you could heat it and some of it would evaporate, and that means you would add the fire element. Or you could throw some dirt in it. The dirt would sop up some of it. You'd have less water. And that's adding the earth element. And so that's how we do this balance. We start with too much water. We add some of the earth element. It's a granite countertop. It's a beautiful terracotta bowl that we add on top of this counter. We add some wood. We add some rather earth. We can even add some fire. I talked about not too much, but a little bit of red in the artwork in the reception area. That's how we balance things. Okay, that's the second power principle. The third power principle that I want to talk about today is the Bagua. Bagua is just the Chinese name for a word that means eight-sided. Bagua, eight-sided. The original Bagua in classical feng shui was an octagon. You may have seen it. It's an octagon divided into eight areas around the side and a yin-yang symbol in the middle. In contemporary feng shui, we use a grid-shaped Bagua. Same eight areas around the side and a balance center for grounding. And I believe if you've looked at what Keith did send, there's a Bagua in it. How you work with this chart is you stand at the main door, the entrance to your spa. Do this with your home, do this with an office, but and hold this in front of you. Draw the floor plan of the part of the building that you occupy, then divide it into nine equal areas. And then we mark off each of these areas related to these aspects of life. If you have an odd-shaped building, we'll come back to that. But for now, let's assume everybody's in that same rectangular-shaped loft that Keith is in. Standing at the front, looking in the upper left-hand corner, we're going to go from left to right, power, wealth, abundance. This is the area we need to activate if you want to increase your prosperity. My guess is most of you, if not all of you, want to do that. Next one, same, future, reputation, how you help your business become well-known. The next one is love, marriage, relationships for a business that translates into your relationship with your clients. Going down the right-hand side, creativity, children, legacy. This is your creative contribution, what you want to leave behind and be known for. And then the bottom right corner is called compassion, travel. It's helpful people. It's the area that helps you attract clients and mentors and people who support you. The center, usually where the door is, but not necessarily having your door in the very center, is self, career, work. It's related to the work that's done in this space. And then knowledge, wisdom, harmony, that relates to having enough knowledge and background information to live a peaceful life, to work peacefully and harmoniously in this space. And then family, health, community, this is extending family to that community, that world surrounding you, how you relate to the world outside. And finally, the center of any space is well-being, grounding, balance. Those of you who've got the chart, across the top are all fire areas. Down the right-hand side are metal areas. Across the bottom is water area. And then going back up the side is the wood area. The center of any space is its earth grounding area. Obviously, most of our spaces are not divided evenly into little rooms like this, and the elements do move up and down. They don't stay static. So where love and marriage is on this chart, which is fire, we could also use a little metal in there, although we typically like red colors to deal with relationship-related issues. And what you put in each of these areas in relationship to that element, in relationship to what you want to attract into your business affects indeed how you bring it in. So, for example, upper left-hand corner, power and wealth. If you can, this is the ideal place to locate your office. The administrative office where you count the money and pay the bills, you take the checks, this is where we put that. Okay? That's just my orientation to help you understand how this chart works. We start first by doing the floor plan of your space. We next can do any particular room, treatment room, office, standing at the door to that space, drawing its shape, dividing it into these nine areas, and then taking a look, again, dealing with power and wealth, what is in the wealth corner? Is that where the trash can is? Is that where the shredder is? Probably not the best place to put it in your office. We can also use this chart to do a surface. So you would sit at your desk, hold the chart in front of you, divide symbolically the top of your desk into these nine areas, and then what would you put in the upper left-hand corner of your desk? Probably your phone. Business comes in through your phone. That results in abundance for you. And so we can use this map in many ways. For most of you, I suggest starting by doing the shape of your space. Let's worry about the different rooms later. Take a look at what's going on. What do you have in each of these areas? So, for example, if anywhere across the top, which are all fire areas, you have lots and lots of water, you are symbolically putting out that fire. Again, in the real world, you have too much fire, you douse it with water. And so what we would do would need to be adding some of that fire back in, some red artwork, some things that are triangular in shape, and images that show very fiery things to balance out some of that water. This is the most complicated concept in feng shui, so if anybody has questions, I'll answer them now or we can answer them later. There's a bit more about this on my website and a lot more about it in the book. If you don't have a complete rectangle for the shape of your space, we need to fix that. And how we fix that is on one of the walls. For example, let's say that the shape of your space was L-shaped and it didn't have this power and wealth area. That's just where the building cut in. We would have to symbolically push out one of those walls, the wall between fame and what would have been wealth, and the wall between family and what would have been wealth, by putting either a mirror on that wall or putting a picture of artwork that shows the outdoors, because either one of those makes us symbolically look through the wall to the outside. Again, this is the one where I welcome questions because it's a little more complicated to explain. So I urge you to take a look at your space, map it out, see what's going on in each of those areas, look at where the elements fall and how you need to balance them. This chart doesn't mean you need a purple room, red room, and pink room across the top. It just means you need some fire across the top, metal down the side, water across the bottom, wood up the left-hand side, and earth in the center. Keith, any questions?
No, I think it's great because this is something that you can look at as an entire building, something you can look at as an individual treatment room or as a relaxation area or like you're talking about your desk, you know, what you can put where. The thing I like about feng shui is it can be tailored to the surface or the space you're dealing with.
Right. Absolutely. Okay, so let's talk then about yin and yang. Yin and yang is how the Chinese like to pronounce it. We more commonly say yang in commercial spaces and specifically in spas. Yin and yang is simply the balance. It's the light and the dark, the male and the female, the geometric versus the floral. We tend to do this very naturally in our home spaces. We have very hard metal kitchen chairs, and we put cushions on them to soften them. We paint our walls light. We use a darker color on the wall, in the furniture. We have wooden furniture. We tend to do it naturally. We tend not to do it quite as naturally in a lot of commercial spaces. There's more hardness in our commercial spaces. And so what feng shui tells us to do is to try to make this a balance of the opposites. And so what I would suggest you do is take a look around you and pick out what's yin and what's yang. If you think of yin as the male, the hard, the strong, I hate to go into stereotypes, but this is how we define yin and yang. The yin is the female, the dark. The yang is the male, the more active. Take a look at what's going on in your space and look how it's balanced. Is your building, the inside of your building, too light? Are the walls all white? We need some dark. Are all of your chairs covered in fabric that's very geometric, stripes? Then we need some floral to balance that. Go take a look at other spaces, competitor spaces, and spaces that aren't spas, restaurants. Take a look at how the yin and yang are balanced in restaurants and how you like to spend time in those spaces. See what you like, whether yin feels better, whether yang feels better, whether you like the passive, whether you like the more active, and then you can bring that information back to your own spa and make some changes to make it feel more comfortable. Okay? Questions
about
that one?
That's my biggest complaint. My biggest complaint about some of the mega spas that are out there, or the resort spas that are located in something like a Ritz-Carlton or whatnot, is that they don't have that good balance. When you walk in, it's usually a lot of marble, mm-hmm. very cold. They don't add back in those colors. So, you know, this is yet another chance for you, the spa owner. When you walk in tomorrow or when you have time tomorrow, to look at your space as an outsider. Because we don't tend to, you know, we build it, we work in it every day, we are there, and we don't always look around to see what's going on. So this is another thing for you to really get a good look at what's around you, and even ask your clients, hey, when you walk in, what do you see, what do you feel? And you'll get some great responses.
I think that's a great suggestion. I'll go back to my experience with the spa that was somewhat negative. It took me several days before I called them and told them. I went back and forth. Did I care? Did I want them to know? I wanted them to know, and when I talked to the manager, she wanted to know. And so you can think about asking your clients, especially your repeat customers, how do you feel here? What makes you come back? What do you like? What do you not like? You may find the answers very, very interesting. Sometimes the quiet room is too quiet. Sometimes the quiet room is too noisy. You really don't know these things. You don't know this yin-yang balance until you ask. And so it's an interesting strategy to take. Okay. One more of the power principles that is not on these slides, but I do want to take a little time to mention it because it looks like we've got some time. And that's what I call continuity and connectedness. And this goes back to my talking about the fact that the more we feel connected to what's living and growing outside, the better we feel. And so take a look at your spa, and do people who come in feel connected to the outside? Sometimes there is this effort to make it so dark and cozy and comforting that we forget people still need to be connected to this natural world. So take a look at the plants. What kind do you have? Do you have very spiky plants, or do you have very lush plants? Again, what's on the walls? What are you showing pictures of? Very angular black and white New York skyscrapers doesn't real make people feel really connected to what's growing outside. So take a good look to how you are making people feel connected. How are you extending that continuity? And that's just another principle I wanted to mention. Keith, any comments on that?
No, I think that's good. I hadn't thought about that as well, because one of the things about the spa world is we tend to, when we're opening a new spa, we get our theme or our concept in our head, something that we want our spa to be. But we don't always allow that concept to be translated into comfort. What's really going to make people feel homey there, feel, you know, relaxed, want to come and see you. You know, I always joke about the McDonald's restaurant, you know, how they lay those out, and they make sure that the benches aren't too comfortable, et cetera, because, you know, they don't want you to be there for 2 hours, right?
Mm-hmm.
Come in, eat your happy meal, get out. But if we have those same issues showing up in our relaxation room or our waiting area where people are antsy, then it becomes a concern because you're not going to get people that want to come back, no matter how wonderful and great we are. If they leave just feeling something's not right, and we've all felt this too, whether it was a spa we went to or any business. You know, let's say it was a restaurant. You had a great meal, the service was good, but it just, something didn't seem right. And that's what I find is the feng shui element. People can't always put their finger on it, but they just leave not feeling comfortable and welcome.
Right. And I think after this session, hopefully we've opened your feng shui eyes a little bit, and you can start to put your finger on what doesn't feel right in other spaces, and then take that knowledge back to your own space and say, okay, what's probably not feeling right here? It may be beautiful. It may be a glorious shade of purple, but is it the right place for that glorious shade of purple that you picked? And so hopefully we're opening your eyes a little bit. Okay, go ahead. Please.
I know we've covered a lot of concepts, but I also want to make sure that the way I have digested feng shui easily, one of the biggest tips I can give people is to go to your website and sign up for your newsletter. So that has helped me by getting your newsletter. You know, it breaks it down. It gives it a real-world application for the different concepts. Because, you know, for me, jumping into feng shui is kind of like that New Year's resolution where you're going to go to the gym and you're going to get skinny. And if you overdo it, you get overwhelmed and you don't go back to the gym, right? You may give up on it. Well, I don't want feng shui to be that way. I want you to take a very common sense approach to it. And because spa owners' lives are busy, practitioners' lives are busy, I don't want you to think that tomorrow you have to change every single thing about your business and rip out walls and move furniture and all that stuff. I want you to know you can take a very simple approach to it, and one way to do that is to go to Carol's website and sign up for her newsletter so that you can get those little tips that allow you to start doing bits and pieces at a time.
I appreciate that. Timing is perfect. My newsletters, I call them e-zines because they're a little more in-depth than newsletters, come out the middle of the month just to be different, not to crowd your inbox along with everybody else's first of the month newsletter. And so there's one coming out this week. What I do in each of these, and again, you can go to my website, fengshuiforreallife.com, and all the way down lower left-hand corner is the sign-up box. You can't miss it. What I include is a tip each month, and these days I've been calling them feng shui to the rescue tips. We're all dealing with troubled times. Our businesses are all challenged, our lives at home, and so I'm putting them in the context of how to help you out of situations. There's always the clutter clinic, always some suggestion on clearing clutter. Even if you feel your spa is not that cluttered, if your home life is cluttered, you are indeed bringing it with you. There's a success story. I'd love to write up some of your own success stories if I do start to work with and hear from more of you. There's always a feature I call Beyond Feng Shui, which is just some useful things you can use that take it one step beyond. But very much all of this, as Keith said, is encouraging you to take Feng Shui step by step, little by little. It's a little bit like peeling back the onion. If that's too harsh, maybe pulling the leaves off an artichoke. Little by little, getting to the core of what's going on in your space. And yes, your home space and your workspace are indeed related, and you need to take a look at both of them. So yes, please do subscribe, and if you do it this week, you'll actually get the next issue right in your inbox. Okay, let's kind of pull some of this together. Whenever I do presentations, I always like to leave with a bunch of tips that you can go home, go back to your salon, your spa rather, and use right away. And let's go through some of these. Let's do them the logical way of how people would proceed into your space. The first is your entrance door. Entrances represent how the world meets your spa, and they symbolize opportunities flowing into your business. We call the door, the front door in feng shui, the mouth of qi. It is how the architect, the builder, built that space to be entered. Now, in your home, you may tell me I come in through the garage, I come in through the back porch. It doesn't matter. This is the way we orient things. This is what people see. It sounds obvious, but your door should be attractive. Dust it every now and then. Make sure it opens easily. You don't want people unable to get a grip on your door because they can't get a grip on what's going on behind it. Nothing should be blocking it from opening completely. In feng shui, we think doors represent opportunities. If a door is blocked anyway, if it can't open completely, that means your aspirations and your opportunities are blocked. So check your front door. The next thing people see, obviously, is the reception area. Keith made a very good point of talking about how they tend to be overly cluttered. Keep it scrupulously clean. They tend to be rather high, so be sure that the person behind it has a high enough chair so that he or she has some visibility, has some presence, and can greet your customers appropriately. This is the place where we could use a small water fountain, because if you look at that Bagua map, that center, that bottom area, the entrance area is a water area, and it represents the flow of business, of prosperity into your area. It's a good place to decorate again with this lushness, with plants in this area, this sense of growing your business. If you like having fish, an aquarium, it's certainly not necessary, but this is where it would go. Aquariums are considered very, very restful, so a lot of salons and spas and businesses that deal with beauty do put them in the front. Okay, your quiet area, the waiting area. You want to take a look in this space so that nothing sharp is pointed at your clients. Again, I talked a little bit about this. We call this poison arrows. Whenever two walls come together and point into a room, that's considered a poison arrow. So go take a look at your quiet rest areas and see if there are points aimed at your clients. You might be surprised. Look at the ceiling. If you've got a coffered ceiling, sometimes the HVAC equipment creates these interesting kind of points pointing at you, but they're very harsh. They're very uncomfortable. And, of course, we want gentle lighting, soft chairs, and absolutely clutter-free. Sometimes there are simply too many old magazines in this area. Next one is color. Color, of course, is incredibly important. The most ideal colors for a business like this where we're dealing with people is what I call a skin tone, and that's the range of skin tones anywhere from ivory through mahogany. We sometimes don't like the dark colors because they soak up too much. But if you can look at a color and say it's a healthy skin tone, then this is a good color as your base for walls. Muted shades of green as accents help because, again, that color is the wood color and it's associated with healing, with growth, and with new energy. In your office area, the administrative areas, I want to make sure you've got some fire. So some accents of red, purple, again, I wouldn't paint all four rooms purple. It's going to close you in. But some accent wall that excites you symbolically, it excites your business. The next thing is the practice, the treatment rooms. I just came from the dentist, and that is a treatment room, obviously, and I was having the discussion with the dentist about the fact that I was lying there with my head facing backwards out the door. This is considered the most vulnerable position in feng shui when you're sitting, and especially if you're lying with your back to the door. Things go on behind your back, actually and symbolically. You don't feel comfortable. So whenever possible, see if you can put beds on an angle, tables on an angle, so your clients have a view to the door. Even if that door is going to be closed, they are going to feel much more comfortable. The other thing is never to place a table or a bed or a chair so your client is facing with their feet directly out the door. This is considered the death position in feng shui. It's symbolically the way coffins are carried out of rooms in Asia. Not a comfortable way to sit. If you need to, consider using screens in your rooms to screen off unpleasant views. If they have to be facing with their feet out the door or their head to the door, maybe that's what you do after they come in. You place a screen near the door that makes them feel more comfortable. Decoration and art, we talked about this. I'll just reinforce. I strongly suggest what I call landscape art, images of nature, growing things as full color as you can make them. It will make the people who come in your space feel connected, feel good about where they are. And finally, plants. Most spas are full of them. What I want you to avoid are cactus and any plants with spiky leaves. My clients in Arizona are always a little upset when I say this, but we really want to avoid anything sharp, pointy, aimed at people. It makes them feel very uncomfortable. So those are just a few tips that you can go and take with you tomorrow and make some changes. Comments from you, Keith?
One of the other things I want to add under decoration and art, mm-hmm. No matter how much your skincare or Juvederm or Botox rep wants to give you those posters to hang up, those are not good for my personal feng shui, at least, because to me those advertisements are too Times Square, too advertisement. I don't get a sense of them really being artwork.
It's an excellent point. It's a terrific point.
So that's just something that I tend to remove. I always, I thank the drug reps for bringing me the pins because we all need those. But I don't tend to use the artwork for those things. Now, one of the other questions that I got the other day, Carol, when it comes to feet, I'm one that I love to have the treatment table at an angle. And again, so the feet are not pointing out the door. But what about windows? So if there's a window, do you want the feet not to point to a window as well?
The ideal place for any kind of bed, and this goes in your bedroom as well as a treatment area, is with your head against a solid wall. We can't always do this in treatment rooms because usually they're lined with counters and cabinets and sinks, and there typically isn't room. Typically, that bed has to be in the center of the room. So ideally, it would be against a solid wall. Less comfortable is backed up against a window with your head against a window. Your feet pointing out a window, not quite so vulnerable. The most important thing, if you have to have a bed with feet pointing to a window or a head pointed at a window, is window treatments, window coverings. Goes back to the spa that had these beautiful wood lines, the plantation shutters, rather. It felt comfortable. No matter where you put the table, if your head was up against that, if your feet were pointing, that wouldn't be a problem. So window coverings would make the difference there. Ideally, against a solid wall, it's not always possible in this kind of business, and typically the table's in the center. That's why I talk about the angle.
Perfect. Great. All right, so what I've done is I've made a list of some homework that I want to give everybody that's been listening. But before I do that, there are two tips that I want to make sure that we cover that have helped me greatly. One of which, Carol, you said is, for example, where I'm sitting. This part of my loft, I'm looking out a window, which I love, but I can't see behind me.
Mm-hmm.
So one of your tips was a little mirror.
Yes, if you can't position your desk so you have a view out the door, and typically these days it's when you're looking at your monitor, do you have a view out the door, then what we do is position a small mirror so you can glance up casually and see what's behind you. Even people who work in a home-based office, and they tell me, but nobody's there, you will still feel much more secure, much more grounded, much more in control if you see the door. And so you can get a little mirror on a stand to put on your desk. They do actually sell monitor mirrors that click onto your monitor. A little more complicated if you work on a laptop, but they are out there. It doesn't need to be very big. If you're against a wall, you can hang a small mirror on the wall, again, so you can just glance up and comfortably see what's behind you. It's amazing how it makes you feel grounded.
I agree, and I did it. So I felt the difference just in having that. And again, it's not that I expected people just to walk into my office, so I didn't think it was a big deal, but it was a comfort level for me.
Much of feng shui is intention, and if you need to set the intention of feeling more secure about the work you do, the way you do it, where you do it, that's the kind of area where a mirror will help. It'll make you feel that you've done something, and so you are in command. Ideally, we sit diagonally across from the door. It's known as the power position. We can't all do that. And putting a mirror or a reflective object somewhere that allows you to simulate that is what we're looking for.
Now, people are going to laugh when I say this, but your tip on toilet seats is what paid me $9,000 in a week. So would you explain the toilet seat stuff?
I will explain. A lot of people know this. This is a classic feng shui tip that people joke about. I recommend you keep the toilet lid down. Water is associated with abundance in feng shui, but in our bathrooms, that water is associated with waste. It goes down the toilet as waste. It goes down the sink and the drain and the tub as dirty water. It's negative. We've got too much negative water, and so we want to get rid of some of that. We don't want to be seeing this waste, and so we want to keep the lid down. It symbolically means that you're no longer flushing your abundance down the toilet. People do laugh. Women who live with a lot of sons and husband and a husband remind me that it's just one more job for them to do. It's well worth it. It's certainly complicated when you have clients in and out. It is worth it. Once you start thinking about it, it's a big gaping hole. And when you start closing it, you very symbolically, again, here's where the intention comes along, you very symbolically close that hole and keep your wealth from being flushed away.
And well, I've
heard stories. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I've added that to, like, my spa concierge job description.
Yeah.
You know, they check the bathroom once an hour anyway to make sure the trash doesn't have to be emptied and all that stuff. That they now are, as part of that checking the restroom, is they're to put the lid down.
Yeah, and I tend to do it also. So if I come in your spa, I'll do it for you as well. Amazing. It's a small thing. Again, it goes back to intention, but it has a big payoff. The other thing is, how visible is that toilet when someone walks down the hall? If you have one hallway and it ends in the bathroom, you not only want to keep that lid down, you want to keep that door closed because you don't want the chi coming down the hall and dumping in the toilet. The funny thing is that the feng shui is 3,000 to 5,000 years old. They didn't have indoor toilets. Toilets weren't an issue for the originators of the feng shui philosophy. I don't want to give mine up, and most of my clients don't, so we have to find ways to very peacefully coexist with them.
Now, the other tip that I've heard you give, which makes a lot of sense in spa world to owners, practitioners, people working at the front desk, is where you shouldn't keep your purse.
Oh, where you shouldn't keep your purse. In feng shui, keeping your purse on the floor represents disregard for your wealth. The floor is where the dirt is. The bottom of your shoes have walked on it. And there really have been scientific studies done that show the amazing amount of germs that the bottom of a purse will pick up. And what I recommend is get it off the floor. Hang it somewhere. I do actually, my website has these purse hangers that women now carry, and you can stick it on the edge of a table, at the edge of your desk. If you've got the opportunity, stick it in a bottom drawer. Anything that keeps it off the floor. I sometimes do that in a workshop where I'll say, where's your purse? And, you know, 30, 40 women can automatically at the same time pick their purse up off the floor. It's just not a positive feng shui thing to do.
And for me, it's another example of, like your website, feng shui for real life. These are little things you can do, and you'll see a benefit because of it. And like you're saying, it's intention. So, all right, my homework list. Here's what I've come up with for everybody. Number one, I want you to check your chi. So tomorrow or when you're in your spa again, think about that flow. Think about how you have things set up. Walk through your spa. And one of the things that I learned from owning a hotel is you don't always see everything when you just walk through your space. So one of the homework assignments I always give to owners and managers is once a week, every week, you need to sit in every chair, lay on every massage table. You know, even if it's a restroom you don't normally use, go in there and sit on the toilet as if you were a client, because you may see the dust bunnies that are behind the door that you don't see when the door is open and you walk by. You may see and feel all these different things. So check your chi.
And what I would add to that is, if you're lying on that table, look up and see what's on the ceiling. Look in the corners. Maybe there are cobwebs, places that you might not automatically look. Great idea.
Especially the dust. You brought up earlier the air vents in the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody thinks to dust those. So, you know, you were in the dentist office today, so you got to look up. Sometimes they'll put, you know, tacky posters on the ceiling or something. But what are you seeing in that space? You know, 9 times out of 10 for me, it's water drops, you know, on a tile in the ceiling. So get rid of it. Clean it up. The other thing, when I think about chi, which kind of applies to spa world, is how your employees walk, meaning their traffic patterns through your spa. One spa I was at in Sedona, the relaxation room where I was waiting for my treatments, the treatment rooms were on the left side, the laundry facilities were on the right side. So the chi and those employees were going back and forth, you know, at like top running speed to get from point A to point B, which really affected how that energy in the room changed. You know, every time they zipped through with dirty laundry, you looked up from your supposedly relaxing yoga book,
mm-hmm.
and you felt that. So think of that, too, as, you know, the traffic patterns and how you in your spa get from point A to point B, and you'll see how that chi works as well. Next on my homework list for you is to balance your elements. So, again, when you're in a room and you've got Carol's list of those 5 elements, look around. Make a list, okay? The fountain is there. It's water. The picture on the wall is this. Therefore, it's more wood. You'll really kind of look at everything in a new light by doing that. And then you can figure out what's a good way to balance those elements. Carol gives a lot of really great tips on that in her book as well. Number 3 is to apply that Bagua. Look at something as simple as your floor plan. If that's too much for you to take on, then look at the top of your desk tomorrow when you go in. And I want you to know that you can go to fengshuiforreallife.com and actually download the 2 different ones, the horizontal and the vertical version of that, to apply to whatever shape your space is. But really take a look at that. And then the last thing I put on my homework list for you all is to ask your clients how they feel. How is it what do they feel when they're sitting in your reception area or in the relaxation area? Or how did they feel the room was where they had their treatment? And see what kind of information you can get. One of the things that is amazing is you've got Carol, who's, you know, a feng shui expert, who took the time to call a spa and tell them something that made her experience not be right because of feng shui at a spa. Your clients would love to give you those tips. And if they don't feel comfortable telling you outright, they will when you ask them. So take the time to do that. Anything else, Carol, for us?
I would add to that, in terms of the Bagua, just to explain, there are 2 on my website. It's always oriented from the front door looking in. Choose the one that fits the shape of your space. If your shape is longer back to front, use the vertical one. If it's wider left to right, then use the horizontal one. They are the same. They're always oriented from the front door. The upper left-hand corner is always the wealth area in a space. And then the offer I'd like to make to everyone who's listening is, please feel free to call me. My toll-free number I'll give you in a second, and I will do a preliminary consult on the phone. I do travel all over the country. I'd love to come work with you, and if not, there are ways we can do some things over the phone consulting as well. And my toll-free is 1-800-652-9038.
And your website again, Carol?
It is fengshuiforreallife.com. And my book's on Amazon. That's the Feng Shui Quick Guide for Home and Office.
Great. And what I'm going to do is I'm visiting a spa here in Albuquerque tomorrow. I'm going to take the Bagua with me, and I'm going to, in my next newsletter that comes out at the end of this month, give people the before and after. Okay, what's the spa like now? What did we realize from looking at the elements, looking at the Bagua, looking at the chi? What corrections did we make? And then the following month, I'll report back to you all on the positive changes in the business because of what we've done. So that way you'll see that it works, it's easy to do, and of course, if you have any questions, please call Carol or drop her an email from her website, and we appreciate you all being here today.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Carol. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.